And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Food and Dining Thursday has arrived, finally. Joining us now is chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer. And Linda, we're eating very healthy today with South Florida grown organic produce and more. I have a freshly plucked carrot here.
It's beautiful. Aren't they beautiful? The colors. Mm. They're all different colors.
And the smells.
Mm-hmm. Mm, they're wonderful. Well, Joe, get this. How about a big, frothy, sweet strawberry milkshake?
Ooh.
Made with...
I'm in.
Can you just taste it? Mm-hmm. Made with just, you know, locally grown...
I won't say with a cheeseburger, though.
No.
Well, okay. It's that time of year again when the farmers are bringing their produce to market. Freshly picked strawberries. I love those big red bell peppers, mm-hmm, and the real tomatoes. Well, sometimes we forget that the farms are just a few miles away from our city centers here. And buying local is a treat, especially in today's green economy. Our guest today is here to tell us about our local farms, her dinners in paradise. Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
And how we can create our own patch of organic garden. And she's Gabriella Moreski, and she's the owner of Paradise Farms Organic. Welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you.
We're delighted that you're with us because she's filled the studio with all these wonderful things.
I just pulled out a scallion here.
All right. Just leave it there. You're not supposed to eat it yet.
Keep going.
We'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions from our farm expert? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576 or email us at radio@wlrn.org.
You got it.
Sorry, Bonnie, took that away from you.
No, that's great.
Okay, and also joining us, as he does every week, is our favorite wine columnist, Fred Tasker, and he's joining us by Skype. And you can read Fred's wine column in today's Miami Herald. Fred, what's in your glass today?
You know, Joe, I'll bet if you look hard enough, you could find an organic hamburger or even cheeseburger with some organic gravy on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't
but
trust.
But if it's organic food, I'm obviously going to talk about organic wine.
All right. I wouldn't trust the two of you together. Okay, now, Gabriella Moreski, Paradise Farms. It's a wonderful name. Where is it and what do you grow?
We are located down in the Redland in the agricultural area south of Miami, between Miami and the Keys. And we specialize in baby greens, edible flowers. We have 52 different varieties of edible flowers that we do throughout the year. We do oyster mushrooms. And we also do the dinner in paradise that you mentioned. And we've added brunch in paradise, which is a wonderful family event.
We'll get to that in a minute because you just mentioned these oyster mushrooms. And these are gorgeous. I know we don't see these in the market. I'm looking at them here. And they're huge, big, white.
Very light, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, with lovely... tell us about these.
Well, oyster mushrooms are very nutritious. They're actually 15 to 25% protein. And 15 to 25% protein.
Mushroom?
Yeah, put that in your smoothie.
Yes.
That is amazing. Now, are all oyster mushrooms that way, or is it because of the way you grow it?
All oyster mushrooms, yeah. And there's different varieties. There's pink ones, there's yellow ones, there's brown ones, there's white ones, but they're all oysters.
Linda Bonnie wants to taste one.
Yes,
she wants one? Well, I was hoarding them here. And tell us some other things that you have here.
Well, I also brought with me one of our salad mixes. This is we call it the Baby Brassica blend. And we now sell it to the chefs. They just love it. It's also available at some of the farmers markets. And this is brassica greens. So it's arugula, mizuna, mustard, kale, extremely nutritious. And
really
then we
pretty.
Top it with our edible flowers for color.
The flowers are beautiful. I wanted
and they
to
taste good, too.
These are beautiful. Were these nasturtiums?
Yes, those are the nasturtium flowers.
Oh, wow. And rose petals?
Yes. Mm. Uh-huh. And if you eat flowers, just make sure they're organic.
Right, because otherwise they'll have something, excuse me, on them.
Preservatives or something.
Right, yes, and those are beautiful. And you have also these little tiny microgreens.
This is some shiso, and it looks some basil microgreens.
Now, what is shiso?
It's in the mint family, and
it's a type of mint. Let me taste it.
And the beautiful thing is about the two leaf stage, when it's the microgreen stage, it has all the flavor of a mature plant.
So, I just tasted the chiso, and it's so wonderful. It's the flavor. Sometimes you have Chinese food or something, you say, "What is that flavor?" And it's really so. It's very distinctive. It's hard to explain it.
Yeah, we'll pass it along.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm eating it. And
Linda.
Well, and then you have these. These have these wonderful little baby eggplants. That's sort of long and narrow.
Yeah, these are called Louisiana long. And also a snowy eggplant. So these are a long, narrow eggplant.
Well, does that mean they don't have the seeds in them? Yes. Okay, so she's looking at me. She doesn't
those
know.
Are
she
eggplant?
Just goes, those are eggplants. They're beautiful. They're like, how would you describe their shape?
I don't think I want to go there.
All right, that's what it looks like. Okay,
it's called
good.
Long.
That was very graphic, Joe.
All right, so let's... let's carry on because we have a caller here, and Ellie, is it Ellie in Miami? Is that how you pronounce your name?
It's Ellie Brecker.
Oh, hello,
Ellie.
Ellie
Brecker.
Hi, Ellie.
And I don't want to talk about dogs.
or obituaries.
Right, exactly.
Explain. We better explain who Ellie Brecker is. She's the columnist for the Miami Herald.
Of course.
Yes, okay. You have a question.
I do. I have two questions. I am trying so hard to grow organic heirloom tomatoes and organic red peppers and organic everything. And two things are happening. A plague of white flies.
Exactly.
For which I have tried all the organic remedies, the spraying, the detergent, and the oils and the whatnot. And they scoff at me and continue to eat my peppers. And then hand-to-hand combat with squirrels over my tomatoes.
I hope your hands don't get in the way of the squirrels.
So,
all right, let's have Gabriella. Maybe she can help you because whitefly has been destroying a lot of the vegetation here this year. It's really been big.
Well, I have to say, knock on wood, that we don't have a whitefly problem on the farm. And part of it is that we have a balance. When you have a lot of different products, you don't have a monoculture, so you're not creating an environment for one species. I think the most important thing is that when you're applying your organic products, the insects are always on the undersides of the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important when you put the soap on it or whatever you're using to spray it on the bottom of the leaves, on the undersides where they're actually habitating, because sometimes we have a tendency to spray the tops.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't really work that way. And what you need to do is, maybe grow something that is not that doesn't the whiteflies don't like as a
what would that be?
Carrots, fennel. So maybe interplant some dill in there with it and some fennel in with it because they don't like that, and that could help break up the population. And I know it's a frustrating thing, and sometimes I think as farmers we just plant a lot of things and we hope that we get a certain percentage of what we put out there.
Yes.
Well, now, some people, for example, planting marigolds next to it, would that help?
Yep.
I know
marigolds are for insects. I don't know specifically on whitefly. But you can look on the internet under companion planting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole list of plants that you can plant to ward off another species.
Any kind of homemade pepper spray or something that you
there's
could
a cayenne, there's a hot pepper, hot sauce spray you can do. And that's more for animals. If you want to keep maybe the squirrels from eating your peppers,
tomatoes.
You can spray it with a hot pepper on it.
Oh, okay.
Well, good luck, Ellie.
Just make sure you wash it before you eat it.
Yeah. All right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Keep growing. Keep it growing. Now, you've got some other food here that is just looks so wonderful. I've been eating all of it. And that's tell us about this.
So we have dehydrated products that Tom Frazier makes these at our farm, and he sells it at the farmer's market in Coral Gables. And I have in front of me, this is his kale chip. He calls it cheddar, but it's not really cheddar, but it looks like cheddar. And he uses cashew and red peppers, and it gives it this wonderful crispy. Yes.
And it's very good because I tasted it.
It's very, it's crunchy. I wanted
it's
you
very,
to get that crunchy.
It is crunchy.
What do you do? Dry it in the oven?
In a dehydrator. And all the
all
the snacks that he makes are gluten-free, sugar-free, low glycemic index, trans fat-free, and delicious.
And you've got some of these bars over here with lots of nuts and seeds in them that he makes. And this is at the Coral Gables Farmers Markets, which is on Saturday.
Yes, that's correct.
On Saturdays. And tell us, what are some of the other farmers markets?
Well, the farmers markets that carry our products, we work with Urban Oasis, and they actually have three markets. And they're in North Dade and in at the Unitarian Church in South Miami and also in Liberty City. And also Farmer Margie from Bee Heaven Farms, she's at the Pinecrest Market on Sundays.
All right. So lots of and they were all organic. Did you have a question?
And we have a question from Frank, an emailer. Getting good results with soil formula in book The Square Foot Garden. One-third topsoil, one-third vermiculite, one-third peat moss.
Great formula.
Okay.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah.
What, does that help growing or with the insects?
That helps with growing. And what I find, there's something called paramagnetism. And what that is that when a plant is under stress, it'll attract insects and diseases. And really, it all depends on having a healthy plant. And a healthy plant starts with healthy soil. So if you have a good soil, then you're good to go.
That's wonderful. Now, Dinners in Paradise. We're going to break in a minute, but tell us, when is your next Dinner in Paradise, and
we're
how
gonna
do that?
In February 9th, and we're doing it in conjunction with Slow Foods, and we're calling it Slow Love. And the proceeds from that dinner go to them. And we'll have music, and we have Chef Rodolfo from Toro Toro is going to be our featured chef for that dinner. It's on usually our dinners are on a Sunday. This one's on a Saturday night, and we'll have dancing.
Oh,
wow.
And a bonfire.
And that's down in the farms, and it's just a beautiful setting. You can go to your website and see photographs of them. What is the website?
www.paradisefarms.net.
Right.
And we have
What's
a quick
the
email.
Price of the dinner?
Fred wants to know the price of the dinner.
It's $165.50, and that is a five-course meal with fine wines.
Mm.
You would love the wines, Fred.
So come on down from Michigan, Fred.
Sounds good to me.
Right. Okay, well, we're talking with Gabriella Mareski. She's the owner of Paradise Farm Organic. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Gabriella Mareski. She's the owner of Paradise Farms Organic, and she's been talking about our local farms, our farmers markets. She's been giving us some advice about organic growing, and she's also enticing us with her Dinners in Paradise. But dinner in minutes time. And here's a dinner in your paradise home that you can make in just minutes. And it's based on using our local ingredients. Mediterranean snapper with Greek salad. Now, sweet. Yeah. Have you eaten yours already?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Along with the carrots and
I
the flowers?
Hot, and I just ate my first flower ever.
You've been eating everything, both of you. All right. So fresh snapper needs very little cooking, about 8 minutes under a broiler for this recipe. And it's topped with some tangy pimentos and some capers. And while the fish is cooking, you can make a simple Greek-style salad and use our local lettuce, because I notice here, Gabriella, you have this beautiful red lettuce here and all of these wonderful things, some tomatoes, some cucumbers, and you just you just get a dressing, or you can make your own dressing and put it all together. So you broil the fish for about 5 minutes. And here's my tip, which is what I wanted to tell you. If you're going to put your fish under the broiler on a baking tray, put the baking tray under the broiler while it's heating up, so it'll get heat on the bottom. So when you put the fish on the top, it'll get heat from the tray and heat from the top.
Oh, I never thought of that.
And there you go.
It makes such simple sense.
Right, and then you don't have to turn over your fish and have it break up and all of that. So it's really, really easy. And actually, then you want to put a little feta cheese and maybe some navy beans into the salad to make a complete meal.
Right.
So that whole recipe and a photo is on my website, dinnerinminutes.com. And by the way, all of my recipes fit the government nutritional guidelines. So follow me on Twitter. It's L. Gassenheimer. And did you enjoy it? Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Well, your mouth is full of mushrooms. Is your mouth full of a mushroom or what?
flowers.
Oh, you're eating the flowers.
I'm eating the flowers.
Are you sharing?
I'm kind of hogging them. Well, there's like a taste of arugula to them.
Yeah. And what's interesting, also, we have a borage flower, and that tastes like cucumber. And so different flowers have different flavors.
Okay. They are so delicious. I feel like a flower child.
Well, let's go to... She is a flower child. Let's go to Fred Teska. Fred, what are we drinking? It sounds like we're drinking here, I know.
Yeah, it does. It does. Actually, the perfect wine for an organic dinner would be an organic wine, or at least a wine that's as close to organic as possible, because there are some difficulties. There are three levels of this. First, you have organic grapes, and these are grapes that are grown without chemical fertilizers or herbicides or pesticides. But while the grapes might be organic, most winemakers still add some sulfites to the wine, so the wines themselves are technically not organic. And the problem is that sulfites are preservatives, and if you don't add them, the wines tend to oxidize very quickly and lose their color and fruity qualities. So there are actually a few truly organic wines, and you'll see them displayed separately in separate cases in supermarkets. But a lot of people say that you should keep them under refrigeration even before they're opened if you buy them this way. The very top level is grapes that are what is called biodynamic. And here the grower treats not just the vines, but the entire vineyard and its surrounding environment. They bring in beneficial insects to fight the harmful ones. They build birdhouses to attract owls to eat the mice. They make herbal teas to treat the soil, and they even do their pruning by the phases of the moon. And some of this sounds kind of flaky until you think about it. If you prune under a full moon, its gravity pulls the sap high up in the shoot and it's lost when you cut it. So if you prune under a new moon, you save that sap and you make the vine stronger. So there's a logical basis for it. Now, the problem is that biodynamic growing is labor-intensive and expensive. Benziger Winery makes a wonderful biodynamic tribute red wine blend. It's a wonderful wine, but it's $80 a bottle. So what's happening now is a lot of California growers are taking a different tack. They're turning to what they call sustainable growing. This means they minimize chemical products as much as they can, but they keep the option of using them if, as an alien, her whiteflies, if they encounter a pest they can't fight by organic means. So sustainable growing also takes into account the need to make a profit, and it also includes concern for such broader issues as runoff into nearby trout streams, fair treatment of pickers, and that sort of thing. So it's a very broad concept. Now, the problem with this is that very few wineries label their wines as sustainable. So if you are concerned about this, though, there's a website you can go to get a list of all the wineries that do sustainable growing, and that is sustainablewinegrowing.org. So you can check that out.
Well, that sounds very, very interesting. Let's go back to Gabriella. Gabriella, CSA... what is that?
Community agriculture.
Right.
And that started actually in Japan, and it's a direct relationship between the consumer and the farmer. So the consumer buys a share at the beginning of the season, and that gives money to the farmer up at the beginning of the season when the farmer has to buy fertilizer and seed. And then they get a box or a bag of produce every single week for the length of the share. So we have a couple of CSAs down here. Beehaven Farm, if you go to Redland
by
Organics.
Down here you mean in the Miami-Dade area?
Yeah.
Are there any up in Broward or Palm Beach area?
Not that I know of.
That you can Google CSA.
Yes.
And it'll give you the list of where they all are at.
And I think the thing to look at to see which ones are actually supported by real farmers versus organic product being shipped in.
Right.
To look at that.
Okay. And so what are the ones here in Miami-Dade?
Margie, as she has Beehaven Farm.
Margie.
Pekarsky.
Right.
And her website is redlandorganics.com.
Mm-hmm. So you
and
just
then,
Google that.
Yeah, you can Google that. And then Tina's Pride is not organic, but they also they specialize in heirloom tomatoes.
Right. Now, I know Tina hasn't opened some Sundays where you can go into the farm.
One Sunday out of the month.
Right. And does Margie have an opening or not?
She has hers in the fall every year. She has, I think twice a year she has an open house.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go to their websites and check their calendars.
Or you can go to the farmers markets and buy their products.
Do we have time for a quick email, Linda?
I think very quick because we're almost out of time.
Renee wants to know what the farm does to ensure their crops won't be subject to cross-contamination by conventionally treated farms.
Is there a quick answer? Because we only have a few seconds.
Well, we have barriers around our farm to protect from other farms. And the most important thing is to only use organic products and only buy from organic farms. Keep it consistent.
Keep
there's no cross-contamination.
Well, we'd love to keep on talking with you, but we're out of time. It's been a wonderful week. Gabriella Mareski, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And for this very exquisite taste of your special produce from Paradise Farms. I feel honored to have it. You can reach Gabriella Mareski at info@paradisefarms.net. Or just Google Paradise Farms Organic. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
And Joseph Cooper and Bonnie.
Indeed, this has been fun.
Yes. You both ate well today. Next week, we'll be talking with Food Network star Melissa Darabian. She'll tell us how to look and feel younger. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Mm-hmm. Join me then.